here today. Amen. It's good to be here. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody. If you are serving or have served in the United States military, if you would stand for just a moment, please. Let's give them a round of applause. We appreciate your service, and we're thankful to you and to so many others and to our God for allowing us to live in this country. The freedoms we have, we're very blessed, and may we never lose sight of that. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our sermon series, actually conclude our sermon series, on the purpose of the church. And we've said that our purpose as a church is to reach the lost. We have a purpose to teach the saved. We have a purpose to encourage each other to use our gifts to serve God. Last week, we talked about our purpose as a church to help those who are in need. And today, we're going to talk about our purpose as a church to worship the one true, all-knowing, all-powerful God. That is our purpose, and that is a privilege, isn't it? It's a privilege to worship God. It's a privilege to be here today. There's a man named William Hendricks who wrote a book called Revealing Stories on Why People Are Leaving the Church. And his most common answer wasn't about the music. It wasn't about the facility. It wasn't that the church was dull. The most common reason given in his research as for why people were leaving the church was that they felt the church didn't provide them with an opportunity to meet God. Most people said they left because they felt the church just wasn't worshipful. They came hoping to experience God, hoping to be spiritually fed, but they left feeling empty. You see, when interaction with God is absent, the church would lose its appeal. We would begin to drift away. But in Acts, Paul says he met with the Christians in Jerusalem for a purpose, and that purpose was to worship. And we see how the early church worshiped. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The early church came together to experience God and worship, and so do we. We are here to praise God and worship. We are here today to praise Jesus Christ through worship by seeking God and seeking to serve Him in every capacity of our lives. As people of God, it is our purpose to worship Him. So what is worship? What is worship? What is meant by worship? Well, I'm not going to bore you with a word study, but we're going to go over just a couple here. The English word for worship means to attribute honor or worth to somebody. In other words, we communicate to God how valuable, highly valuable He is through our worship. The Hebrew word for worship means to bow down, to acknowledge that God is superior to us. God, I understand you're greater than me. I understand you have all the answers to all the questions in life, and I'm here and I bow down to your power and to your authority. The Greek word is actually two words, which means to kiss towards. So imagine the image of a child kissing his or her parent, or a dog licking his master's hands. It brings respect based on gratitude. One author kind of tied these together and said, worship is paying honor to one greater than we, bowing down and submitting to one who is over us, and showing respect out of a sense of gratitude to one who gave everything to reconcile us to Him. And isn't that what our God has done, church? He gave everything. He gave His only Son to reconcile us to Him. Biblical worship certainly is more than just a Sunday morning activity. It's a way of life. We're to worship God in everything we do. We're to give honor and respect to God in all things, in our walk, in our talk, in the way we do our jobs, in the way we play when we have time off, in the way we are at school. We are always to give God honor and glory and respect. And it's a privilege. You see, from Scripture, we see that those who made worshiping a priority in their lives met together. They were together. And when they were together, we read in Acts chapter 2 of some powerful things happening. One thing was a sense of awe. Not A-L-L, but A-W-E. A sense of awe. In Isaiah 6, the prophet saw the Lord high and lifted up, and when he sensed the presence of God, his attitude was an attitude of unworthiness, a sense of awe because of who God is. When we come into the presence of God, the appropriate response is wonderment, awe. The appropriate response is one of respect. When we look at creation, when you look up at the stars at night, when you look at the beauty of the mountain, when you look at the beauty of the ocean, when you look at the things God has created, we begin to understand how powerful He is, how awesome He is. David said it best in Psalm 8, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." In Acts 2:43, we read about the early church. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. When's the last time we were in awe of the power of God in our lives? This is powerful stuff. And we've experienced it. We've seen it. We've heard each other's stories of experiencing it and seeing it. And it's a privilege to be able to be in awe of God. Secondly, when we worship, there should be a sense of joy because of God, because of His love, and because of His power. In Acts 2:46, we read, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." They were a glad and sincere people. The early church worshiped together, we're told, with glad and sincere hearts. And so do we. You see, our worship must contain an awe-filled adoration of God, but also a joy-filled celebration of who God is and what He's done for us. But when we miss these elements, there can be problems, right? It can actually divide the church. We've seen that over the years. For example, if you come from a background where your primary worship experience is one based on silence or reverence or quietness, and then you go to a church where things are a little louder, people talk louder, they laugh, they clap hands, you may think their behavior is inappropriate. Or if you grew up in a church that emphasize celebration, and we're a little bit louder, you might find the quiet experience to be irreverent or dead. I heard of a person from a background that visited a quiet church, that was from a background of a louder church, went to a quiet church. He said, "I went to one of those quiet churches the other day, and one guy had a heart attack in the middle of service. The ushers carried out five men before they found the right one." Biblical worship, church, is to contain both awe and joy if we're following the example of the early church. And since we come from many backgrounds, we have to be flexible and allow different expressions of worship within God's Scripture. And I'm glad we do that. I'm thankful we do that. Because worship is to contain both a sense of awe and joy for our God. So why do we worship? Why are we told to worship? Why do we gather here each week? Why is it a purpose of God's church to worship? Well, of course, the primary purpose is to give glory to God. When we worship, God is the only audience. We're not here to evaluate each other. We're here to give glory and honor to God. Psalm 29, 1 through 2, what Charlie read says, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." God is the audience of one. We come to ascribe to Him the honor and glory that's due to Him. It's not about us. You see, when the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year, I know we got some Patriots fans in here. The fans put on a huge celebration, right? When they got in Boston, there was a big ticker tape parade and a big celebration because the fans wanted to join and wanted to band together and wave their banners and do all kinds of things to express the appreciation to this team that had brought them so much joy. When people left that event, I bet they didn't go away saying, well, that didn't do much for me. I just didn't feel that, right? I bet they went away thinking, I hope Bill and Tom and the team appreciates and felt our appreciation today. When we come here, church, we're here to give glory and honor to God. Psalm 147 tells us God delights in those who praise Him. We come to honor Him. But there are some what I would call secondary reasons, I think, for our worship. It's to bring glory to God. But secondly, through worship, we're strengthened, aren't we? When we lift up ourselves, we're not strengthened very long, right? That soon fades. But when we exalt God, when we come into His presence, when we sense His presence, then we're made stronger in our relationship with Him. God ordained worship, not because He needs it, but because we were designed in such a way that we need it. There's something inspirational about singing together, right? This is a beautiful song service this morning. Very uplifting. There's something inspirational about singing and preparing our hearts to come into the presence of God. There's something cleansing about taking communion together, remembering Christ and His sacrifice, what He's done for us, but also remembering He's coming back. There's something reinforcing about hearing God's word together, voicing our praise to God together, and being here and seeing people make decisions about becoming Christians and putting Christ on in baptism. We are strengthened in worship. And another secondary purpose to worship, I think, and these are by no means exclusive. There are many, many benefits to worship. But another one I want to talk about is that our worship is a testimony to those who are unsaved or unchurched. In Acts 2:47, we see that the people were praising God. They were enjoying each other. And the last of that verse says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When people on the outside come in and see people genuinely worshiping God, the Holy Spirit will work to draw people to Christ. When they see us praising and adoring God and people responding to Jesus, they'll be lifted up and drawn to Him. We don't do it so that they're drawn to us. We do it so that they're drawn to the one we worship. And we know we have a biblical example of this. Paul and Silas. Remember what they were doing in Acts chapter 16 when they were locked up in prison? Scripture tells us they were singing praises to God. They were praying to Him. The jailer heard this, right? There was a big earthquake. The jailer ran to him, and he says, what do I got to do to be saved? You see, from them worshiping, this jailer's heart was cultivated to receive the word of God. He was drawn to that. The primary purpose of our worship is to glorify God. We're also strengthened through it, and it can be a testimony to those who are unsaved or unchurched that come here. But as we grow in our worship, as we strive to grow in our God-given purpose to worship God, how do we make our worship more effective? How do we grow in our worship? Well, I suppose the list could be limitless to this, right? But a couple of things I want to share. Perhaps if we want to grow in our worship, we need to focus more on preparation. Ecclesiastes 5:1, Solomon writes, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. He said to guard your steps. Be prepared. How do you prepare to come to worship? We prepare for so many things in life, don't we? We're preparing to have a cookout tomorrow. I've been in the store 3 times. We got to get ready, right? Probably going to go again today. We prepare for so many things. On Sunday mornings, I like to listen to the XM radio, the message. Those songs, modern songs about God, helps get my mind in the right frame of mind. Going over my sermon, maybe you read scripture before you come. Maybe you look at what's going to be taught in Bible class. Maybe you spend quiet time in meditation with God. When you have a big day at work, a big presentation, or a big test. You spend time getting ready for that, right? You spend time preparing for those finals, right, Branson? We spend time getting ready for all kinds of things. And one big thing we do is we say, well, we got to get a good night's rest. Do we do that with God? I remember my grandma Dorothy. When you'd go to her house on a Saturday afternoon, she'd have her clothes laid out for church Sunday morning. She would have read whatever they were going to study in Bible class. And she wouldn't only have read it, she'd have notes about it, and she'd be ready to discuss it. And the teacher didn't always appreciate that, but she was ready. She was prepared. Do we do that? Do we get a good night's sleep? I'm talking to myself. I was up to 1 o'clock this morning talking to Austin about cars, right? But when we get ready to come in and worship together, are we ready? Do we guard our steps? Do we prepare? Do we bring the essentials? You know, if you're a carpenter, you're going to take your hammer to work, right? If you're going golfing, you're going to take your golf clubs. When you come to church, do you bring the proper attitude ready to worship God? Or do we just show up and expect to go through the same thing? When we get ready for the big presentation at work, or when we get ready for the trial, or when we get ready for the test at school, we're doing these things because we know in our hearts something important is about to happen, and we got to be ready for that. Do we have that same response in preparing to come to worship God together? Do we truly believe something important is going to happen here today? Because we know that it is, amen? We know that it is every time we get together. Prepare for the priority of worship. And secondly, participate. To grow in our worship, we should consider to focus on participating in worship. Worship is an activity where we all participate together. Are we teaching our kids to participate in worship? For example, we're told to sing to help prepare our hearts to experience God. Ephesians 5:19 tells us, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Singing encourages us, right? We just went through that this morning. It was wonderful. Now you might say, Matt, no one's encouraged when I sing. I've said that before. It doesn't matter how well we sing. What matters, church, is that we sing. And there's more for us to participate in than just singing. Communion is a participation activity. 1 Corinthians 10:16 tells us, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? We take the communion to proclaim Jesus' death until he comes. Preaching is a participation event. Not that I want you to talk back to me necessarily, but look at the scriptures. Look at the points. Consider what's shared. Check it out. Make sure it's right. Participate in that. I can't explain it, church, because I think our human minds lack the ability to fully understand it. But there's something supernatural that happens when God's word is taught. There's something that happens when we're together as God's people worshiping him. And the time of decision is a very important part of our worship. You know, the song at the end of service isn't just an opportunity to gather up your things and get ready to leave. It's not just an opportunity to hope that in a 4-verse song, the song leader skips the 3rd one. I've done that before. I've been there. It's an important time, church. This time, when we sing this song, can be of eternal significance and importance for somebody. Decisions about becoming a Christian can be made. And even when we rummage around and get our stuff together, maybe we're distracting somebody. But it's a time for us to participate in singing the song, sharing the song, rejoicing and praising God, and taking a self-inventory in our own lives. But you know, the most important part of worship is what we do when we leave this place. You take nothing away from today's sermon, remember that. What we do out there, once we leave these doors, once we leave this hill, that's important. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. If we come and we go and we don't change, then we're like those whom Jesus said, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We want to come and honor God and continue to live that out there, living obedient lives. Lives that draw others to Christ. Lives that help others. see the hope that we have for eternal life, so they can experience that as well. As we close this morning, I want to read one of my favorite scriptures about worship, the 100th Psalm, which says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Amen. Amen. You know, there's a preacher who tells a story about a Jewish man who came forward to become a Christian. This man's name was Neil, and a friend had invited him to church. And Neil came, and the people were friendly, and he felt welcome, and so he decided to come back. And he came back several weeks, and for several weeks he heard the gospel. And finally, after hearing God's word for several weeks, Neil walked forward. He said, "I want to become a Christian." The preacher went back with Neil, and as they were climbing the steps of the baptistry to baptize Neil, the preacher said, he looked at Neil and he said, "Neil, are you ready?" Neil said, "Oh yes, I'm ready. He gave everything for me. I can't wait to give myself to Him." Have you felt like that? Remember when you felt like that? Praise God for His Son. Praise God for the hope we have in eternal life. You know, we worship because we believe there's a Creator who loves us so much that He would rather die than live without us. He would rather send His Son to suffer that cruel, agonizing death than to be without us. So we enter His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. If you don't know Him as your Savior today, you can change that. Come and confess you are a sinner who needs saved, and you know Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He died on the cross for your sins. Repent of your sins. Say, "You know, I'm sorry for my past life, and I want to turn from that past life. I want to turn and walk with God." Be buried in the waters of baptism, where that old person, that person full of sin and death, is done away with. You come up out of that water, washed, fresh, brand new, having God's Holy Spirit that will guide you, comfort you, teach you in the days ahead, until He takes you home to be with Him. Are you ready for that today? If you are a Christian but you've fallen away, there's no better opportunity to come back. Come home. God is ready with His arms wide open. We're here to pray for you, support you, love you, do anything we can for you. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.